either to your delight or your dismay, my topic is not about remote sensing. So Chung Hai and I actually work both for the same project. It's the Aerial Application Technology Research Group with USDA and College Station, Texas. One of my project responsibilities is looking at aerial electrostatic systems. The first system was patented by Dr. Jim Carlton back in 99, and he retired shortly thereafter. And so one of the issues that we're seeing in the industry is that a lot of applicators are actually using the system, and we could get good anecdotal data from them saying, hey, it works really well in this situation or this situation, but we have very little field data, especially, to support that. And so one of my objectives with this study really is to do a field study under real-world conditions that can help document, scientifically document, some of the effect an electrostatic spray application has in cotton. So I'm looking at specifically here deposition in the canopy and penetration of the spray compared to a conventional application. And conventional applications typically go out somewhere between 2 and 5 gallons per acre. The electrostatic systems typically go out at no more than about 1 gallon per acre. So you're using a lot less water, but you need smaller droplets so that you can get the proper amount of charge on that spray. So for this study, I used a Day Glow Rocket Red dye. And the reason I do that is, although it's not a remote sensing presentation, I do have one aerial photo. And then I'm using a fluorescent imaging technique where I image the droplets on an actual cotton leaf, and I want to use the red band. So I'm using Rocket Red so that it kind of saturates that one sensor there, the RGB. Okay, so I'm using a Rocket Red dye in a commercial cotton field, about 175 acres. I mix the water and the dye together with about a 10% of that volume being the dye. That way it's strong enough to give me a good signal when I'm doing the imaging. I have a commercial aerial applicator that was working with this Air Tractor 301A. So this is what the Day Glow Rocket Red dye looks like, ordered in 5 gallon buckets, and it's really expensive. Looking at the top here, you can see it's almost looks like a bright orange in that picture there. So one of the loaders is getting ready to mix it right into the hopper of the airplane there, and you can see it mixed in right here with water. These are the electrostatic nozzles that the applicator was using on his airplane. Specifically, they have TXVK10 tips that are in there for an ultimate 1 gallon per acre application rate. This study we did just this a couple months ago, really, last part of August, on mature cotton. It was about 3 weeks away from harvest. Now, honestly, I was a little concerned about spraying this Rocket Red dye over cotton, and so I wanted to get it before the bowls really opened up. I didn't really know what kind of effect that was going to have on it. They're really small droplets, but I didn't want to mess up this cotton, as you can probably well understand. Ultimately, I wanted to see if we could provide some scientific documentation on how well these charged sprays affect deposition and penetration into the cotton canopy. So this is what the field looked like. It's in Burleson County. It's about 20 miles west of College Station, where we live. And again, it's a commercial cotton field. It's 175 acres, it's this plot right here. Again, I was a little concerned about how this would play out on his harvested cotton, so I zoomed in to this one section of it. I really only needed about 600 foot of run here to be able to put my samplers in. Actually, my samplers were the cotton leaves, okay? And the reason for that is electrostatics with the charge on it. They're not usually represented very well by traditional artificial samplers. A lot of times we use mylar and we use water-sensitive papers. They have short points on them. They're artificial material. They're not grounded. And so those samplers don't really work that well for collecting sprays and measuring deposition. So the best collector that we can use for electrostatics is the natural plant leaf. Okay. So what I did is I have 9 different experimental units in here, and that's a combination of 3 different treatments that I'll go over in a little bit, and 3 reps. It was completely randomized within there. You can see this is what the cotton looked like in the field, and again, it's probably maybe 5 to 10% bowl open at this point. And these are the treatments. So I have 3 treatments. try to pay attention a little bit on this, because in the graphs I just refer to treatment 1, 2, and 3, but the first one is with the electrostatic system off, so the charge is off, application of 1 gallon per acre. Second treatment is the same, except the charge is on, so he just flips the switch, really. And then the third treatment is a conventional application at 3 gallons per acre. So we have three replications, and then I went in and collected 20 leaf samples from each of those experimental units. I had 10 leaves from the top of the canopy, 10 leaves from the bottom of the canopy, and they were separated by two rows and 30 feet. So 30 feet down, two rows over, 30 feet down, two rows over, in a diagonal across the middle swath. Okay. And then before the last application, I put out water-sensitive papers and collected droplet data for each of those experimental units too. So this is what the field application looks like. This is our Air Tractor 301. You can see it's a kind of a bright reddish that's coming out of the spray system here, and the cotton that he's flying over. And I'm going to give you a little look, a little peek into an applicator's life here. All right, so that's what it looks like. It's pretty quick. It's only 600 feet, and he's traveling 120 miles an hour. Okay, so I'm going to show you one more time, and I want you to look at where my water-sensitive papers are. They're right here. I have 10 of them across the center swath. All right, good. So that's what the application looked like. This is what the water-sensitive papers look like. I had them on blocks right here, and they're collecting droplets on a bright yellow background. And anything that's water-based makes a blue spot on that card. And then I have a special software package. I can run those through a scanner, and it'll tell me how many droplets there are, what the volume is. Based on that, it converts it from 2D to 3D with the spread factor. Gives me all kinds of good information. I'll show you a little bit later on that. So, for the leaves, we collected those 10 leaves from top, 10 from bottom for each of the experimental units, brought them into the lab, and you can see them laid out here. We went ahead and took off the stems from each of those leaves so that it would remove just one variable from the equation. I really wanted to look at deposition on the leaf surfaces, both top leaf and bottom leaf. The technical term is abaxial and adaxial. Top leaf, abaxial, bottom leaf, adaxial. So I removed those, and then I have a camera set up here and a black light right here. Of course, the light is on right now, so you can see everything real well. Have a monitor so I can see exactly, get my focus correct, make sure all my settings are like they need to be and that type of thing. And then I put a glass plate over each one of these cotton leaves, and that is to make it more two-dimensional. If you know anything about cotton, right, which you guys ought to, it's not two-dimensional. It's got these kind of rough surfaces, and it kind of folds this way and that. So I try to make them as two-dimensional as possible because the image that I'm shooting is two-dimensional. All right, so that's why I have it set up like that. When I turn the lights off, this is what it looks like. It's all under black light. You can see the leaf glowing right there with all the spots on it. Okay, that's all spray that you ordinarily would not see. All right. The other thing I wanted to look at is droplet density. How many droplets are there, and how many droplets are there per square centimeter? Okay, per area. And I figured that was the best way to compare some of these treatments. So I measured the leaf area of each of those leaves, and here is actually one of the leaves that I imaged. You can hardly see the droplets in there, and but that's okay. It's going to provide good contrast, because what I have done is I've developed a technique that was published last year. It's a fluorescent imaging technique for this whole process, and this is what it initially looks like. But then, and then the bottom, there's just a few droplets on the bottom. But then, when I go through the program, and it's using a freeware called ImageJ, National Institute of Health provides it, but I developed this little routine that's all published. You can start thresholding this image. And what that does is it zooms into that specific wavelength for the red droplets, and it gets rid of everything else. Okay, so you get down, it's like a bandpass filter, right, for this narrow wavelength. And then it highlights all the droplets, and then everything else goes into the background. Okay, and then the computer programmer actually picked out those droplets based on that. So this is what's called the selected image in the process. And then it gets rid of all the background, and you just have the droplets. Okay, so this is what they call the drawing from that. Okay, and then the software gives me a summary for each one of those leaves, both top and bottom. It'll give me a summary for this file. The count is the number of droplets, then it measures an area and the size and percent area and mean and those types of things. So for each one of those leaves, top and bottom, I get this data that I bring into Excel, and then I use that to do the analysis. So looking at the water-sensitive papers, this is DV50. It's a measure of droplet size. It's a very standard method. It's just considered maybe the average droplet size, although it's a volumetric median diameter. Of the three treatments, they're very similar, right around 200 microns, plus or minus 5 to 8 microns. So for treatment 1, 2, and 3, we're all getting basically the same droplet size coming down out of the spray. If I look at the application rate, it says that the electrostatic system, whether it's charged or not, is giving me about the same application rate. The conventional application rate, which is supposed to be 3 times as much, is really not ending up producing 3 times as much on the ground for whatever reason, but that's what it looks like compared to the electrostatic application. If I look at number of droplets, I can see here with the charge off, it's giving me about 220, a little bit more with the charge on, and then a lot more as you would expect with 3 times as much water going out for the conventional application. The droplet density, how many droplets there are per square centimeter. Here, a little bit over 11 with the charge off. With the charge on, it's a 12.4, not that big of a difference. And then as you can see here with the 3 gallons per acre, we get a lot more there. So pretty much what we'd expect. Now what's real interesting is when we go to the natural collectors, the natural cotton leaves here. What I'm looking at here is the difference between canopy, between top of the canopy, which is the red, and bottom canopy right here. Okay, so as you would expect, we're getting more deposition in the top canopy, right? Okay, it's a no-brainer. But what you're seeing here is it's very similar between the electrostatics here for the bottom, and actually statistically there's no difference in the bottom canopy for any of the treatments here. But what we do see in the top of the canopy is about twice as many droplets. The drop density actually is about twice as high when we charge the spray versus not charging the spray. Okay, and this is exactly what I saw from a greenhouse study that I did a couple of years ago with beets, is I had twice the droplet density when the spray is charged. And then statistically, there's no difference here between these two. Numerically, it's a little bit higher with the 3 gallon application rate. So that's in top canopy and bottom canopy. The thing I really want to look at is how much deposition is there on the bottom sides of the leaves, because we have certain insect pests, especially thrips and whiteflies, that reside on the underside of the leaves. If you're getting spray on the top, it doesn't really do that much good. You really need to get the insecticide where the insects reside. And so the bottom side of the leaf is where I really want to see the spray depositing. And so here we're looking at the top canopy of the cotton leaves, looking at treatments 1, 2, and 3. And the blue is the bottom surface, red is the top surface. So the top of the leaves here, you can see here we have about 32 drops per square centimeter for treatment 1, which is the electrostatic with the charge off. We have almost twice as many droplets per square centimeter when we charge it here with the treatment 2. The conventional still gives us a little bit higher density with that, but there is a definite effect from charging the spray with only one-third of the volume compared to the conventional. And for you that don't know, water is very expensive to haul around. So if an applicator can put out 1 gallon per acre and get equivalent deposition and control, it's a whole lot more profitable. And he may be able to make that application and complete the application before bad weather comes in or the winds change or whatever happens. Looking at the bottom side of the surface of the leaves, which is where it's really important, we see right here, this is, I think, 6.8 drops per square centimeter, which is very similar here to the 3 gallon per acre conventional. There's no difference in these two at all. But with the charge, we're getting almost 3 times as many droplets on the bottom side of the leaf with the charge on the spray. And that's huge. That's really, really big. So great results there. I was pleased to see that. Looking at the bottom of the canopy, down towards the bottom, There's no difference that we're seeing with the bottom of the leaves, and statistically there's no difference here on the top side of the leaves between any of the treatments. Okay, so as far as penetration goes, it didn't seem like it really made that much difference which application system we were using. So in conclusion, the dye worked out really well as a tracer. This fluorescent imaging technique, it works really well. I'd be happy to share the paper with you. Spray deposition in the top of the canopy was higher than that in the bottom canopy. Those are the no-brainers, as well as this next one, higher on the top of the leaves versus the bottom. But the big ones right here is charging the spray increased deposition on both leaf surfaces in the top canopy, both the top and the bottom. Charging, however, did not increase canopy penetration, as measured by the bottom canopy deposition. The electrically charged spray at 1 gallon had equivalent top canopy top surface deposition as the 3 gallon application rate, and superior bottom leaf deposition, and the application method did not affect canopy penetration. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.